probably just keep going until I get a radio. I'm just kind of risking my my job status, but it's worth it because we are the Horrible Podcast. Hello, welcome to the Horrible Podcast, where we like to bring you a uniquely face value view on horror movies. Yes, I'm still at Long Lake Camp. That's what we're talking about right now. I'm going to be on as long as I can. My radio's by me. You guys might hear it in the background. But here we are, week two of the Horrible Olympics. Last week we did Pool A, which was really, really fun. This week we're going to be talking about Deep Red out of Italy, Poltergeist out of USA, The Descent out of England, and Shudder out of Thailand. I'm Devin with the co-host via Skype right now. What do you guys think about this week, Bluester?
Well, I just want to point out that I'm very gaseous and very classless, so I just want to get that out of the way. I'm feeling pretty good, man, and especially this week. Like, I was talking to, I think it was Candlesmoke on Twitter, but we have a lot of good stuff coming up, and this week is nothing to shy away from. I've never seen Shudder, and I've never seen Deep Red, so, or maybe, we'll talk about that later, but I'm feeling good, Devin.
Yeah, it was a good group, I think. It was a fun one, one that we claimed we thought might be the group of death, but what do you think in hindsight after watching all these movies, Dylan?
I don't know. I thought this was going to be the group of death for sure, but I'm actually getting more convinced that that might be next week. This one was definitely full of some surprises for me, and I can't wait to see what we all think about this stuff.
Yeah, Manton, what do you think?
I somehow have already forgotten what we've watched for this week.
I don't know. I just said it.
Even though Devin just said them.
I know.
I just said it.
I'm so out of it today. Like, I took one thing of allergy medicine. Normally it doesn't fuck with me that much, but I'm just like, I feel like drowsy.
Did you take your
like
whiny baby pills because you're a whiny baby?
I forgot to take those, so I might just whine the entire time too. Perfect. You guys could whine and dine me.
Ooh,
I'm really hungry.
I'd love to do that, Dad.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I guess I should mention, I already alluded to the fact that this is our Horrible Olympics. In case somehow you missed last episode, I'll briefly explain.
I don't think anyone missed it.
And if you did, go back and listen to that one first.
You'll listen to it, yeah. You got to listen to all three of these episodes. It's a three-week-long event where we're going to do 12 respective countries, each with a movie representing their country, and we're going to decide which is the gold, silver, and bronze of these films. And so far, last week, someone's going to have to help me out here. We reviewed...
We had Captain Dr. Caligari.
Yes.
We had High Tension out
yes.
of France. Sorry,
we had
Caligari
Ju-on.
Was Germany. Ju-on, yep. The Grudge out of Japan, and Trollhunter from, what is it, Sweden?
Norway.
Norway. So, yes, that's very good. We had France, Norway, Japan, and
Germany.
In Germany. So, that being said, go back and listen to it right now if you haven't, because I'm about to reveal the winner of that episode. Do you guys have a certain way we want to do it, or just want to get right into it?
I just want to first off say a lot of people responded on our poll, which is awesome. Please do that for this week, too.
We expected maybe two responses. We got 30, so
yeah.
That was actually pretty cool.
So, be sure to hop on our polls weekly.
Yeah. And
wow.
Your vote. Oh, come on. I got it now. You fucker.
No, that all jokes aside.
Do hop on my poll weekly.
No, seriously. The Twitter poll actually is really helpful. So we're going to use that, I think, next week as well. That was really nice. I like that addition to Twitter. But without any more delay, with the help of you all in the hashtag Horrible Olympics, again, that's HORRORBLE Olympics. And with the Twitter poll and with our four our decisions, the ultimate winner, it was a tough one, really, really close, neck and neck between Trollhunter and Ju-on. And with the photo finish, Ju-on, The Grudge, takes the pool. So it will be going into the next round of competition. It'll definitely be winning a silver, a gold, silver, or bronze medal. We don't know which one yet, but it is advancing out of its pool. What do you guys think?
Raw. I feel like it definitely deserved
it. Oh, for
sure. Like, I knew it was going to be neck and neck, and I'm actually surprised how close Trollhunter was.
There's a lot of love for Trollhunter out there.
And
I don't know that I got it.
I think it's deserved, yeah.
I think it's deserved, too, and I honestly almost picked Trollhunter. I don't know what it is about Ju-on. And even in my review, I wasn't super glowing.
I'm
about
very
it.
Surprised. I'm very surprised that you guys all chose that, because I could have sworn I was the only one, maybe Dylan as well.
Oh, of course.
What it is that I think Ju-on will leave a lasting impression on me that Trollhunter just won't.
I think Trollhunter was a surprise, and it did a lot better than I had expected.
Agreed,
but I think Ju-on just delivered.
Ju-on's just like a classic.
It is.
Yeah.
You can see why this movie is talked about, you know,
for sure.
15 years after it came out or whatever.
I was surprised by the level of love for Kevin and Dr. Caligari on our Twitter poll. That was like 23%, which
movie,
was like a solid third place.
It
there.
Is good.
Yeah, but if it, in my opinion, that's people just seeing the title and being like, well, of course, that's the
these
best
are
one.
These are our lovely listeners, so I'm sure they got their reasons.
Yeah, so don't
for
talk
it.
Shit, Devin.
Don't talk shit. Although hey, 13% for high tension is too high.
That is too high. Yeah, we need all to right. get all those people on and ask them what the fuck they're thinking.
Right. Well, let's get into it, guys. I mean, stop me at any point if you want to throw
stop
an
now.
Email.
Stop now, please.
Okay, well, guys, we're done. We're on Patreon real quick, patreon.com/horriblepodcast. We're on iTunes and Stitcher, so add us there and rate us there. We're on email and Twitter. Get on Twitter. It's @horriblecast. That's where you'll get our Twitter polls. Also, email us horriblepodcast@gmail.com. Also, guys, honestly, just fucking get your vote in somehow. I don't care if you mm-hmm. fucking snail mail us. Just, like, Facebook us, mail us, email us. Get your vote in.
And we got some... So, go ahead.
No, you go.
I was going to say, we got some tweets, you know, from people who were, like, watching this stuff as they were watching it along with us for these Olympic weeks, and that's really mm-hmm. cool to see. Like, I enjoy seeing anytime you guys are watching the same movies as us.
Well, plus, since we have such a huge catalog already and people are aware of it ahead of time, you know, mm-hmm. we're, like, letting them know week to week. It's good to hear, you know, people getting excited about what we're going to watch and stuff. That's always really fun.
For
fun
sure.
for me, yeah.
Yeah, as much as you guys can get into this, listeners, and be a part of it, please do. Any form of social media, whatever, join the fun with us. But without any more delay, let's get into our first movie, which will be out of England. Its representative is The Descent. And at some point during this episode, I'll have to pass the torch, so to speak.
Oh, that's an Olympic thing.
It's an Olympic thing, right? Okay. Because I'm going to have to get out of here or just get fired. I don't know. Who cares? And then I'll be back for next episode in Louisville. Woo! But The Descent out of England by Neil Marshall. And I can't think of a better person to give us a synopsis than Dylan.
It's funny that you should choose to do that because I was not able to rewatch this week due to some kind of time constraints. No. But seen this movie enough that I think I'm operating okay.
You're off the show.
Might not have all of the character names correct here. But in general, we start with, give me our first, it's Juno, and who's the main girl?
I can't remember her name.
Okay.
I can only remember Juno's name.
Well, okay, so there's a woman we start with who's in the car with her loving husband and daughter, and they're driving behind like a log truck, like one of those trucks that carries logs that you should never drive behind if you've ever seen Final Destination.
Exactly.
And true to form, they get into a car accident, and very quickly her husband is impaled with her daughter, and she is struggling with grief as we find her afterwards. Her name is Sarah, by the way. Her friends kind of invite her to go on a girls' retreat. They're all spelunkers, cave divers, and they're going to a cave in, I believe, West Virginia, to try and, you know, take her mind off of the grief that she's dealing with. Her best friend Juno has chosen a cave that may or may not be the one that they had originally planned on going to because she wanted something a little more daring, a little more adventuresome. Unfortunately, that's not what the ladies signed up for, and the cave that they end up going in is not on any map. It is incredibly claustrophobic, and once they get lost in it, they find out they're not alone down there. There's some freaky-ass troglodytes as well, and they've got to fight for their fucking lives.
So it's basically savages like me just romping around in the cave.
Very
like,
much so, yeah.
All right. Pretty much. I want to jump in first, and I just realized it's not logs. It's just like a big metal rod.
Oh, yeah. I'm thinking of Final Destination.
It's the rebar,
I think. I want to start off, this isn't really related to the actual movie or the content of it, but I realized when I was rewatching this movie, I rewatched it here. First off, I'm with a bunch of English people, which is hilarious. So I was like, let's watch this English horror movie. And people were like, all right, sure. So that was funny. But I realized after watching, I was like, someone was like, have you seen this before? And I was like, yeah, probably like 10 years ago. And as soon as I said that, I was like, I think I probably saw it like exactly 10 years ago.
So hey, I remember seeing it in theaters with
you. Yeah, I saw it in theaters when it opened. And just for shits and giggles, just then I Googled the released date. And it was August 5th when I was watching it. That was, you know, last week or so. And it came out August 4th, I think, in 2006.
Wow.
Perfect
so
timing.
It would have been almost maybe exactly 10 years ago when
full
I rewatched
decade.
It. But
10-year anniversary.
It was a 10-year anniversary, but I'll kind of kick off my review and go right into it because who knows how long I'll be here. Not my review.
Like on
review.
This world or?
Right, exactly.
Okay. So serious.
But when I first saw this movie, I saw it in theaters and I liked it, but I was not nearly as blown away as most people. And over the last 10 years, this movie keeps coming up on lists of like one of the best horror movies of our generation, etc. So I've always had this kind of curiosity to go back and revisit it, and after having reviewed so many movies, I was like, you know what, now that I've matured my opinion in film and in horrors and I've seen so many horror movies.
You've matured?
Who knows?
He's a buff now.
Let me finish. But I was like, maybe this rewatch, I was stoked to rewatch it. I was like, I'm going to see things that I didn't see back then. But honestly, I rewatched it in full, very focused from beginning to end. And my opinion has not changed on it. I'm still very okay with it. And at best, I don't know.
Decent.
I've always called it perfect the name. Decent, and I have a dissenting opinion on it.
Well, I'll go ahead and jump off that I think way back in our first episode, which if any of you guys have listened to that, God bless you. It was a long one where we gave our top five, like before we started this long journey of, you know, 2 years ago, almost now, mm-hmm. of horror movies, like three a week. At that point, I gave it, I think, my number five spot.
Nice.
And, you know, I had a lot of strong memories about it. I watched it pretty regularly since seeing it in theaters. But it had a really important part for me because it was kind of the one where I got back into horror, where I realized I really liked horror. Because I guess what year did this come out? It was like 2006, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Like, you know, it's kind of a dead zone that we've talked about for a while. Mm-hmm. And this one I saw in theaters, I was like, oh, fuck, this is really effective. This is really good. And God damn it, I like it. I like a horror movie. Huh. So coming back to it, it's got a lot of nostalgia for me. You know, again, I can't say I rewatched it for this week, but it's still pretty strong in my mind.
Well, I think that, I mean, at least when we think about shitty horror, especially in the quagmire, like mid-2000s or whatever, it's just sloppy. It looks weird doesn't. Like, horror just didn't feel like it had it didn't feel right at the time. But this movie is very focused. Mm-hmm. I don't know. There's not a lot of fluff here. That's why I like this movie. Yeah. And I was rewatching it. At the very beginning, we just see a couple scenes. There's very little, like, very little dialogue. And they're just, we learn who these people are. They love, like, adventure and shit. Whatever, there was a horrible tragedy. Cool, I got it. Now they meet back up. Like, it's very easy to follow. Mm-hmm. And it's very, it just respects you. It's just like, as long as you're watching, you're going to understand what's going on. And then once we start getting into the caves, that's when we can explore these people, which I like a lot.
Well, one of the things that I've always pointed out with this one is that this is kind of my go-to for characterization in a horror movie.
Yes, exactly.
I feel like this movie is one of the best at establishing its characters. And you know that eventually they're going to be fodder. Like, you know these people are going
to
die.
Well, it's also impressive. We need to emphasize there's a lot of people in this movie.
Yeah,
there's like 10 girls or something. Yeah. And you know who each of them is, mm-hmm. what their little role in the group is.
You get just that, you know, not even more than you need just to understand who they are and exactly. why you should care at all about them. And so when they do die, because spoilers, they do die, it is rough. It is really hard to watch some of these girls die because you feel like you know them already.
Well, plus, I think it's hard to express without watching the movie itself, but like we mentioned, they're in a cave. It's very claustrophobic. And there's like this weird air of tension at all times.
Oh, yeah.
Even when nothing horrible is happening, even when there's no fear, just the fact that they're kind of stuck in this cave together, like all you know, grouped up, and they're all stressed out, like it really just kind of helps keep the tension, I guess. If you were stuck in a situation like that, you wouldn't need anything crazy going on in the cave to feel scared.
I mean, for sure.
That's something that I both like about the movie, but I also think is a fault, is that I'm actually way more, kind of the Blair Witch did the same thing when I first saw it, I think, but mm-hmm. I was way more nervous and stressed and fearful about just the cave itself as the monster than I was the monsters in the cave.
Oh, I'll give you that, yeah.
And the monsters in the cave, I really think, were almost superfluous. I mean, sure, it's cool having little critters, little creepy mm-hmm. crawlies in the
little
cave.
Little golems.
That's fine. Little golems. But, I mean, it obviously needed that to be full-on horror, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
It's not good if that is the least effective, you know, villain or monster in the film, I think.
Well, I think part of that, though, is just that it is so, so scary watching them go through these tiny little holes
right.
in
it
these
caves.
It
cannot be overstated. It's so claustrophobic.
And that's a word that comes out a lot with this movie, but it makes sense because, like, I have never seen a movie that does such a good job of portraying this sense of, like, immediately when they go through this first, like, tiny little crack, you're like, nope, fuck that, never, ever, 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 never.
But at the same time, it, you know, when you would say, nope, fuck that, like, it makes sense for these characters to
it
do
does.
It. You know why they keep going.
You you never get the sense of, like, a lot of times in movies like this, you're like, why are they still doing this? Why are they still going like this?
Right.
You immediately get the sense from, there's a really great few setup scenes where we have them all interacting with each other, and they're all kind of talking about, like, how much of a thrill they get from this. And you can't help but feel that natural mm-hmm. sense of human desire to explore the unknown. And you get it. You can relate to it on some level. I think everyone can relate to some level.
They just go too deep. It's not one of those ones where, like, they you know, go past a threshold they shouldn't have and know that they're going past it. Right. Like, at this point, they're like, oh, well, they fucked up.
It was a kind of a natural disaster that kind of gets them in there, which I liked. And that, like, eventually sets it up like, okay, now that we have to thrust them forward.
And it makes it harder because they don't deserve it. Like, these characters don't deserve this.
They're not inherently bad people.
One thing that I really, really like is I love a good build up, and this movie is so good at it. One of my favorite things in this is when they do a lot of these aerial shots of them just driving to the cave, and it's set to this very interesting music. The music mm-hmm. in this movie is super interesting. It's very sort of grandiose and classy.
It
almost
kind of is, yeah.
But it gives you this sense of, like, dread, this mm-hmm. like internal dread. And it's so neat, like, watching this car drive through the woods. All those setup shots of the woods, and you can see these little lakes and stuff. Those feel scary to me. It's kind of hard to explain.
I have to butt in there because I think that overhead shot was actually a very trendy thing to do in the mid-2000s. And I actually, literally when it came on, one of the English guys kind of made a quip or a joke that, oh, look, it's The Shining 2 or something. Like, that's a thing that's been done since The Shining. And even, like, the Evil Dead remake does it.
Yeah.
A lot of Spanish films does it. It's just that big, nice overhead shot with, like, the orchestral kind of, like...
But I would
argue that this does it way better.
Yeah, to Man's point, I think it does that really well. And sure. So, yeah, a lot of movies do that, but this one, I mean, it's not honestly doing anything new. There's nothing remotely groundbreaking about this movie, but it just... It executes everything really well.
I think
well.
It's a little groundbreaking in that this is, I think it was a bullet by Neil Campbell, or Neil Marshall.
Marshall.
Neil Campbell, he's a Comedy Bang Bang guy, I'm pretty sure. But Neil Marshall, to one of his first movies, if not his first major movie, to have a full-on female cast. And that wasn't really, mm-hmm. that was kind of an, especially in this dead zone of horror, it was kind of a ballsy move because a lot of people could have been turned off by that at the time, you know?
Well, and you get, I mean, like, the term strong female character gets thrown around too much, but, like, this is an ensemble of legitimately strong female characters. Like, they're not characterized that way. They just are.
It's very natural.
Yeah.
That's actually one thing that you say that, Dylan. I thought that was pretty cool. Each character has their own strengths.
Right.
And so, like, they
and
help
weaknesses, too.
Yeah, of course. And they help each other in different ways throughout different parts of the movie, which is, like, it's cool. It's like a living, I don't know, you feel like you're living with these people as you watch them for the next hour or so.
And you get scenes, and that pays off with, like, I mean, scenes like the scene with the sisters dangling over the cliff, like, There are moments where it really, like, it pays off. You know the relationships between them, and
yes.
you know just enough about them that you really, really feel the fear.
So speaking of relationships, it's funny. I've watched this movie probably 6 times, and we mentioned that there's a lot of the way they handle the plot is very subtle. A lot of the character interaction is very subtle. In the very beginning of the movie, there's just a couple very small scenes with the one girl, Juno, mm-hmm. and Sarah's husband that, like, gives you the impression that there's, like, some kind of love triangle going on or some kind of, like, bad blood between these two girls. And it's very, very subtle. I actually missed it the first few times I watched it. So Kelsey was watching it, and she's like, oh, yeah, that guy's probably cheating on her. I'm like, what? I totally missed it.
But it comes to play.
There are a lot of little subtle things here and there, even between, like, as far as the friendships go, you could see a lot of little hints of, like, past things that maybe happened.
Yes.
And I think that that's pretty good.
And they don't have to spell it out for you to get it.
They don't. And this movie does a lot of spelling those things out with the visuals. Like, I can't help but mention there's some shots in this movie that are just incredible.
Mm-hmm.
The one that was on a lot of the covers of, like, Sarah emerging from the gore pit.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
cool.
It's incredible.
It's very
looking.
Iconic, yeah.
And then, like, nearer to the end, like, there's, like, a mountain of bones that they're climbing, and, like,
right.
these shots are just really well done.
We probably need to wrap this one up, but there's one thing I want to say real quick. As far as horror goes, the very first time that we catch a glimpse of one of these things, when they go to this, like, night vision camera, one of the best scares I've ever seen.
This
and
movie,
like,
terrified
me.
Yeah.
I don't use that as, like, an overstatement. Like, I legitimately think that's one of the best out there.
Fun fact, the actors during that shot didn't know that was when they were going to show the monster. They did that without telling them.
So they were just in character?
They were just actually scared.
A very genuine reaction.
That's cool.
That's fine. We can go to our reviews. I will kind of go off that point and say that I agree with you. I think that scare is awesome. But any other scare past that with the monsters are kind of... not only pales in comparison, but I think it's just weak in general. I'm not scared of the monsters at all, mm-hmm. except for that one shot.
Yeah.
And there's a very subtle one before that when you first see one ever. It's, like, very subtle in the background. That's cool. But once I see them up close, I'm very, I don't know. They look very 2000s goofy to me.
They do.
And I just don't, they're unnecessary to me for the most part. Anyway, so I do have issues with this movie. And most of my issues stem from it being, I think it's just genuinely like textbook overrated. That doesn't mean I think it's bad. I think it's a good horror movie, but movies bother me when they're overrated. And I think this one is an example of that, but obviously most people would disagree. But that being said, I'm giving a lot of dissenting opinion. I'm giving Devin's Advocate a lot, but or I'm playing it. Rather, but that's because of that. I do think it's a good movie. I think it's a fun watch. The thing is, I saw it one time in theaters, and I never had the urge to rewatch it, and I probably wouldn't have except for this podcast, and even rewatching it, I can't imagine another time I'll rewatch it, because it just isn't that impactful to me, so I wouldn't quite recommend it as well, unless somebody asked me, hey, I need a 2000s movie that doesn't suck, and I'd be like, this one doesn't suck. But, I mean, it's a light gem, a very light gem, but I still like it. What do you think, Manton?
I can kind of see where you're coming from on a lot of that. Like, I think this movie was overhyped at the time. I think a lot of that had to do with, like, the time period that it came out in. The Dead Zone, right. If this movie came out today, I don't think it would get quite the same reception. But that being said, I think this movie is super, super solid. I think this movie is great. The pacing in this movie is what would make me want to watch it multiple times. And honestly, I have. As I started watching it for this review, I was almost able to like quote a lot of the stuff from the characters, which I didn't expect. But Brandon and I used to watch this movie all the fucking time.
We've watched this many times. Yeah.
I totally forgot, but we used to watch this movie a lot. And I think that this movie, for me, does stand very, very well to a rewatch. And I think that's thanks to the pacing. There's no real down point in this movie, and there are a lot of subtle things you can catch on. Mm-hmm. But like Devin said, I think that almost every monster creature feature type film, once you show the monster, you kind of lose some of the magic, and that is a bummer. But that being said, I think this movie is very, very good, and I would recommend this to definitely people that like horror, but also people that maybe aren't super into horror. I think this is a good jumping off point. So I'm going to give it a pretty strong gem.
What do you think, man?
Let me tell you again.
Okay, rewind.
Dylan.
So I wasn't able to watch this one again due to time constraints this week yet. I plan on going back, and I own this movie. I plan on going, you know, after we record this and watching it again. Like, I just wasn't able to beforehand because I really like this movie. It still holds up to me. Every time I've watched it, I've been really, you know, had the same reaction as I did in theaters. So that is a good sign to me that years down the road, even past the Dead Zone, this one really holds its ground. And I think a lot of that is because the characterization in this movie is just expert. The visuals are really intriguing. The monsters, I'll give you that. They're a little 2000s-y. They don't have the same impact as when they're first shown. But I do think that they're necessary for adding that tension break, because it's a weird movie in that the tension happens well before the traditional horror. And so it's kind of just balls to the wall after that. What I will say is that if you are watching this movie, please do your best to find the British version, not the American one.
Yeah.
Because the ending of the American one is fucking gutter trash.
It's so dumb.
And the ending of the British version is fucking great.
It's wrong.
It's very classy.
So yeah, do your best to find that one. But it's still a very strong gem for me.
All right, Bluchster.
Straight off the bat, this movie's a gem. I've seen this movie probably close to 10 times or more at this point, and every time I watch it, I get the same happy feelings I got the very first time I watched it, and I still get scared.
Happy?
It makes you feel good.
Okay.
Like, you know, we love horror. We like to get scared.
You're a fucking freak, dude.
Like, I am a fucking freak.
It's catharsis.
And I like to get my blood pumping, and this movie never lets me down. And the reason I like this movie so much is because people will come to me and they're like, okay, what's a horror movie you suggest? Immediately this movie comes to my mind, because I can give this as a recommendation without any like any oh but or you know, maybe if you like this or if you're in this situation. This movie is always going to be effective, and it's always going to be appreciated to me, and I think it's always going to be scary, and you don't need to be a certain type of person to appreciate it. I think that anybody who likes movies or horror in general could probably find something to like. And we talk about the little ghoulies at the end a bit, but one thing I really liked about them is they're like the rest of the movie. They're kind of subtle in that they make sense in the context of this
definitely.
This cave, and they don't overanalyze it, but they explain why they're there, why they're the way they are.
The ecology of them makes a lot of sense.
And I like it a lot. This movie, I don't know, man, this movie's good. It's a gem for me.
But don't you think they're kind of a metaphor for... All right. That's four gems for The Descent out of England. Started off pretty strong, I suppose. So we're going into America territory with Poltergeist. Directed arguably by Tobe Hooper. Who knows? Maybe Steven Spielberg kind of took the reins on this one.
They both
one,
got
but
their fingers in that pie.
Yeah, yeah. I read a little bit about it. I'll try to explain some of it. But let's give this one over to Manton.
Okay, I'm going to warn you, I'm on some major tilt right now, but I'm going to try my best.
You got this, man.
All right, I can do this. All right, so basically Poltergeist is about a family who is having some troubles with a haunting, and that's it. Oh, fuck. Oh, no, is that it?
That's not it. That's not it. Keep going, Manton. You can do it.
All right, anyway, so, yeah, there's a poltergeist in their house. That's it. That's all I got.
That's... That's terrible. That's even for you, that's
you.
Terrible.
Very
that's
all I got.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm serious. That's all I
when
got.
When you
for
said
you.
Like you were on tilt and you were gonna warn us, I assumed you were gonna like go long and like try really hard.
He's trying to go the opposite end of the spectrum.
Dude? My energy is so
you're gonna mention like that their daughter goes missing, which is a pretty integral plot.
Oh yeah, she does, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Joanne, right, is her name?
Carol.
Joanne.
It was Anne something.
Yeah, something.
So basically you have this like super super normal American family. They live in like a model home.
Craig T. Nelson.
Neighborhood. And
just an average dad.
One thing that you know, whatever, talking about the plot of the movie aside, one thing I love about this choice for this is it's ultra American.
Oh yeah.
This
was a great choice.
Yeah. I had forgotten how America this movie is. It starts out with the fucking Star Spangled
Banner.
I forgot about
that.
We immediately see a dude driving down the street or riding his bike down the street with like a pack of Budweiser or something. A PBR, they're gonna watch football. They live in a suburb. I mean,
it's American AF.
This is America AF. Television's everywhere. So I think this was a good pick. And I think Dylan, you and I were talking about this a little bit before we came in, but you know, this movie is infamous.
Oh yeah. Well, it's storied. Like this is the movie, the horror movie that I feel like everybody's seen.
Yeah, yes.
You've all
talk
fucking
on that
seen Poltergeist.
Can I just
that
say
has to
I
be
have,
said.
I had never seen this. This is my first time watching
wow.
it. Just
well,
point that out.
Like, and this is important because I've definitely seen this movie. I have strong memories of this movie. I really liked it as a kid when I saw it because it is definitely kind of a kid's horror movie. It's mature in a lot of ways, but you know, kids are designed to be able to watch it. It's a Steven Spielberg kind of joint.
Mm-hmm. It's for everybody.
And for that, you know, like I think all of you guys listening to this, if you've seen Poltergeist and you haven't seen it recently, you're probably thinking, hey, Poltergeist? Yeah, great movie. I remember really liking that as a kid. I was with you. Rewatching this, I don't know that I feel the same way.
Are you trying to say this American institution isn't up to standard?
I was surprised here.
You son of a bitch.
Yeah.
So, yeah, go ahead, Dev.
Well, yeah, sorry.
No, you're good.
I agree with you. Yeah, I thought I was gonna be the only person on the cast with that kind of opinion. But I saw this only a few years ago for the first time. So you know, obviously I'd heard all the hype, and I think my thoughts are that there's so much nostalgia attached to this to people who are in their 40s probably now. Mm-hmm. That when you hear them talk about it, it's the scariest movie ever made. It's the greatest horror movie made. I don't have any nostalgia attached to it. I loved, you know, the Spielberg, you know, Spielbergness of it, and I loved Spielbergian, whatever, Spielbergianness.
Sure.
No, there were certain parts that I liked, but for the most part, I just couldn't help but, you know, realize that this movie didn't quite have, you know, pack the punch that it probably does with people a generation ahead of me.
I can definitely see that. I want to kind of talk about some of the good things.
For sure, there are plenty of good things.
Something that I liked early on quite a bit is our characters. I love especially the mother and father. There's a great scene where they're together in bed just smoking weed, and they're just talking about stuff, and it felt supernatural to me.
Not supernatural, probably not the best combination of words there.
This movie.
But I think that was like, there was a weird moment where I felt like, holy shit, this is the first time I'm watching a movie like this where I really identify with the parents, and I felt so old at that moment. I don't know why, but
that's really funny.
Something about them just kind of hanging out and like doing this together, it felt super, it felt so right.
Man, I'm 100% with you that like I actually think the moments in this movie before the outward hauntings are really well done.
The
setup
to
this is very good.
And honestly, even when the haunting kind of starts, the very first thing that we see is we start to see the mom notices that, well, it's not even that she notices, outwardly a bunch of chairs just assemble themselves, and unlike in a lot of modern movies where that's like just the first like buildup, she, you know, she sees that right off the bat and immediately starts trying to fuck with this, and she's like putting a chair in one spot, watching it go to another spot, and they kind of just start playing around with it at first. And I really
like that part.
That
feels
element.
Very natural, yeah. And like the buildup in this movie is incredible. And I was like, oh great, I can't wait to get back into Poltergeist. I remember this movie being so good. And then there's a certain point, and I don't know when it happens.
Yeah,
but
I don't
just
either.
Nothing connects.
I think for me, it's the scene when they first started getting haunted. So man, like that is a really good scene, but typically in horror fashion, that would be like a big reveal, and it would be very serious. And in this, it's just like
kooky.
It's just like, okay, well, there are these chairs are moving.
I like that too. That I actually like how non-serious it is.
I don't know if I agree. Like,
see, I have issues there because there was cool, great kookiness to it, but other times I feel like there was some tonal issues. Like the first,
oh for sure,
the first element of horror that I saw was fucking great, but it didn't fit. It was like a dude ripping his face off or something, and I was like,
that part
holy
is
shit!
I don't know how the hell they got that into a PG movie.
When I first saw it, I was like, this is fucking raw. But then when you see the rest of the movie, I'm like, wait, that doesn't fit. Like, where did that come from?
This is before PG-13, right?
Sure. So this is a PG-13 movie. It would have been
PG-13.
Yeah. Wait, but 82 is before PG-13?
Yeah, Temple of Doom was the first PG-13 movie. Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, this is absolutely one of those ones that is just torn. And like, Devin, I know you're chomping at the bit to tell us why the Steven Spielberg, Toby Hooper stuff. Like, it feels like two different authors making a movie, somebody else, there's, I feel like even a third person putting the padding in here, too. They're trying to space out between those Spielberg
those
and Hooper
horror
moments.
Elements and then the more, like, mainstream elements.
It's strange.
That's the perfect thing to point out. Yeah, like, who for all we know, that dude ripping his face off was Toby Hooper's input, and Spielbergian epic stuff was obviously Spielberg. Basically, all I know is that we don't know. It's really not been settled, but I do know that he was on as producer. Spielberg was in 82, but he was also working on E.T. at the same time. Mm-hmm. So apparently people think that he wanted to be a part of this movie Poltergeist, but he really had to focus all his energy and stuff on E.T. So then when he got on, so he's probably agreed to produce. He's like, yeah, I'll produce this. Then he probably got on, and Spielberg, once he gets into something, he wants to get his hands dirty. So maybe he kind of was like, you know what? Now I want to do more than produce. Mm. And Toby Hooper, conversely, apparently is very quiet when he directs. He doesn't really like to be in your face, like hands, you know, dirty.
Could have fooled me with Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Holy fuck. Or,
basically, just like when you have two chiefs trying to, yeah. And I think Spielberg,
there's too many fucking cooks in this movie.
Yeah, too many cooks. And Spielberg is definitely more, you know, outright and straightforward, whereas Toby Hooper is a little more mum. And so when you have them both working, it would basically became two people making one movie. And that's where you get maybe some of those tonal issues. I don't know.
Well, I think to be fair, even just to Toby Hooper, like I could see it where, you know, he wanted to like, because this is being sort of presented as a Steven Spielberg movie, maybe he kind of wanted to do a Steven Spielberg take on it even himself. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's a pretty cool element to the movie. And I think that ultimately does kind of pay off for me, because I will say, regardless of, you know, my ultimate opinion on this, there is nothing else like this movie.
True.
I think that this movie kind of stands alone as far as where it fits in the horror genre. Like, you could definitely see,
it's like family visual spectacle horror. It's bizarre.
Yeah. And strangely enough, while watching it, I was thinking about how this movie could really do well in a remake, and sadly, I guess it didn't do too well. I don't think that movie.
I'm sure it was terrible.
None of us saw it, right?
No, I haven't seen it.
No, it looked like a cash cow.
But it got poor reviews. But I think that ultimately, this movie does feel dated. I don't know what it is, but watching this movie, when I got a little over halfway through, I started to feel bored, and I think that there's something that's missing here.
I wish you'd told me.
The problem is the fucking pacing in this thing. Like, I didn't realize it at all, I guess, the first couple of times I'd watched it, but I don't know how, because this movie feels like it takes a dick year to resolve.
Well, we should say that, like, the movie isn't slow. Like, lots of things are happening.
Tons of things are happening. Very and the hauntings quickly. Are very, like, overt and crazy and grand and everything.
They're pretty cool.
But the moments in between that just feel like you could chop and screw them and put them in any order,
that's
it wouldn't
what I
matter.
Say. They feel very weightless. Like, the family is, like, clearly affected. They're, like, tired and stuff. Their daughter's gone missing. But, like, nothing really feels that
there's
tense.
No urgency.
They're bringing in, like, different paranormal investigators, and they're, like, they're all just there for their own gain, and they eventually bring in this woman who's, I can't remember her name. She's very famous.
Zelda Rubinstein is the actor's name.
And
she steals the scenes. I mean, she's great. She's as good as you remember.
I mean, I don't know. Like, the whole middle part of this movie, I remember it, and I know exactly what's happening. But I don't necessarily care to watch it.
Well, and that specifically, that dawned on me when, like, I kept going, where's the fucking clown scene? Like, I knew that there was a clown scene in this, and I didn't realize that the clown scene is not until, like, the last 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, holy fuck. Like, they already set up the clown. They could have done this earlier. And that's when I realized this movie just feels like it's mixed in the improper order.
It's very weird. Yeah. We eventually find out what's causing all of this. It's an Indian burial ground, whatever. That's like at the very last quarter of the movie. He meets his boss in one scene, and he's like, oh yeah, there's a cemetery here, we move these things all the time. And then later on at the very, very end, they resolve that and like show you how that relates to their house,
which is cool as shit. That scene's really great.
No, yeah. it's cool. It's just it feels weird because those are things you might expect to see in the first
some
act.
Some establishing moments. Yeah, it all just feels disconnected.
It's really weird. And I think, I don't know, Devin talking about the two director syndrome or whatever, I don't know, it feels like I could see that.
Oh, for sure.
Devin.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of lost my point when you guys were talking, but like, the point was basically the same as you all, but the ending, the burial ground scene, I was just going to add, is fucking awesome.
It's great.
Does it make sense? I don't know. Sure. You were talking about the clown scene, and I kind of wanted to back up the fact that I had heard about this infamous clown scene for fucking decades, you know, like, oh, the clown scene in Poltergeist. It's like the scariest thing ever.
I already forgot what it was.
It's over as quickly as it starts.
I think we're touching on the things that make this movie is that, like, it's these scenes. Uh-huh. It has scenes. It has these huge images,
and
but like
that's
that
where
make
I
a
get
movie.
It. Like, you guys, if you've seen this and you remember this movie fondly, I don't blame you. Like, I did too, mm-hmm. because these scenes are really indelible. Like, all this stuff is really great. Yet you forget all the stuff that links it together, and that stuff's just kind of not there. Like, it's strange going back and watching this. But I guess we got to review this fucker.
I mean, yeah, I'll kick it off again. Maybe I'm still playing Devin's advocate. There's a lot of weird fucking, I got a lot of complex views on a lot of these movies we watched this week. But don't get me wrong, I liked Poltergeist. But again, just like The Descent, I saw Poltergeist one time a few years ago and I've never even come close to considering rewatching it. And that's generally not a good thing when it comes to how I feel about movies. If I don't think about rewatching it, it usually means for the most part it wasn't that great to me. It wasn't great. I don't think it's great, but I do think it's good. So that's why I'm going to give it a light gem. I'm a sucker for anything Spielbergian. That's why I'm a J.J. Abrams fanboy. And this does definitely have that E.T. feel to it, that kind of stuff. It's very, you know, high budget, epic, and it's got some really interesting bits to it. Certainly worth watching at least once. But maybe another overrated movie. I don't know. It's a gem. That's a light gem, maybe. And that's my review. What do you think, Manton?
This movie is cute. And... I don't know. Does that qualify it for a gem? I don't know.
It's not scary, that's for sure. I guess I never really said that. It's not really scary.
There's one or two images in it that are pretty scary.
I'll give it this. Like, I could see someone being scared of certain things in this movie. Or especially, like, again, I think this movie is maybe more aimed towards kids or, you know, like young teens.
Uh-huh.
And I could see being scared of this. If I was a kid and I saw this, I could see being scared of
it. It's a good driving movie, for sure.
So, you know, on does it work on that level? And I think, you know, that's its intended level. Yeah, I think it does. But really, this movie was somewhat of a disappointment. I think this movie definitely is overhyped. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed watching it for the most part. I think it drags a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But really, by the end of the movie, I was just like, well, that was cool. And that's about all I can say. So I guess it's going to have to be a light gem for me. A very, very light gem. It is so in the middle for me. But yeah, it's a light gem.
All right. What do you think, Bluester?
So, yeah, I don't know. Dylan and I were talking about this a little bit at the beginning, and I was kind of like putting my thoughts together, but I'd seen this movie before, and I didn't feel anything. I just felt nothing but emptiness and ready to move on with my life. And so I didn't feel bad. I didn't like it. I didn't hate it. And now rewatching it this week, I think I can confidently say that I just do not like Poltergeist. There's a lot of powerful images, and I'm sure this is the movie that brought horror to the mainstream, and I'm sure it was great. But like,
I wouldn't say that.
I just everybody knows this movie. My mom,
sure.
My dad. My mom hates scary movies. She fucking knows this movie. And that, to me, that doesn't make it a good movie. I was watching it and I was recognizing how good it was. It looks great. There's great effects. The actors are awesome.
There's a lot of good stuff.
It moves very quickly, which I respect so much. But,
does it?
Yeah, no. they get right into the paranormal shit
to start with
the
yes.
storm. Yeah, but by the middle of the movie, you're just like. You're just trying to think about why you're not understanding why you don't like this movie. I don't know. Man says he got a little bored, and I was just watching it. I'm just like, I can't understand why I don't like this. It's so weird for me, but I just cannot get behind this movie, and I don't think I could ever see myself watching this again. It's a stinker for me.
Yeah, but I'm not going to let you get away with saying it might have brought horror to the mainstream, because if we're going to get into the history of it, it certainly was like Halloween and then Friday the 13th.
I'm going to agree with him there.
This is an everybody horror. I mean,
yeah, this is an everybody horror.
I would say
horror.
It brought it to the family.
To the family, yeah.
To the family, yes. Yeah. I will give you that.
It's
but
accessible.
No, Friday the 13th
is
before this, and Friday the 13th is
what
really
this movie predates.
But it's true. this movie, a lot of movies predated, and I'll go into my review here, but it is the one that people remember for whatever reason. And I did too. I remember this movie very fondly. Coming back to it, though, was a weird wake-up call because I just did not find myself enjoying it all that much. The parts that I really remember liking are still there and I still like them, and yet somehow it just doesn't connect. Like, I'd forgotten how much filler's in this movie and how disjointed it feels. It's a kind of a confusing watch. I will give it a very qualified light, Jim, and say that if you have not seen Poltergeist, you absolutely should see Poltergeist. I think it's an interesting movie, and you deserve, you know, the chance to make your own opinion about it. But I will say that if you have seen it and you're thinking about rewatching it, I'm actually going to recommend that you don't, because I think that it's not going to live up to those expectations that you have or those memories. So for me, it's a very, very, very light, Jim, just like Manton was saying.
You're wrong, Dylan.
And Blitzer's furiously jerking
his, you're wrong, Dylan.
His tiny one.
All right, three light gems and a stinker. Manton, or you guys, you guys have an email pulled up? Do we want to get an email in?
I don't know if we've got time, buddy. Let's keep going.
Let's keep cruising.
We got four movies to review this time, yeah.
Yeah.
Don't worry, we can just spend like 2 or 3 minutes on the next one. It's Deep Red by Dario Argento.
Man, if we spend 2 or 3 minutes on this, we will be spending, what, like a 0.03% of the movie?
Jesus.
The running time?
Oh, boy.
Well, I don't know if you guys are looking at me in the camera right now, but right now I'm touching my nose as to say I am not giving a synopsis of this one.
Well, I already gave one, so it looks like it's Blutster, dude.
Blutster, bring it on, buddy. What is your synopsis of Deep Red 1975 from Dario Argento, his masterpiece?
I mean, absolute masterpiece. I mean, we're talking about the legend, the man, the guy that made horror what it
Brandon,
is.
Brandon, what is it that you usually say in mass turd piece?
No, I would never say that about this movie. This movie is so good.
Okay. No, he's got a very highbrow, subtle sense of humor.
Oh, that's right. 10, he does. Yeah. It's very subtle.
There's an example of
it. I'm very gaseous.
Deep red, you mean deep brown?
Well, the main thing I want to point out about this movie is that it gave me indigestion, and I feel very sick in the stomach after watching it.
I'm with you.
Could be related to the film, could be not. Who knows? So this is Deep Red, very red, as you might suspect, and this is from Argento. When we actually first started the movie, there was a different name. It wasn't Dario, and so we were a little confused.
Sergio,
I think. It was Salvatore.
Yeah. Salvatore.
That's his sexy name when he wants to put his pen name down. He's like, okay. You can call me Salvatore. But anyway, we start out with a very, very powerful opening scene. Someone gets stabbed on Christmas Day, and a child is in the room to witness this. It's very horrific. Woo! And we jump cut to some time in the future. Presumably after these people have grown up or whatever, and we're in kind of like a theater hall. It's a conference. They're talking about paranormal activities and hauntings and
the
things
movie?
Like that.
Good movie.
Dylan, shut up. That wasn't funny. But anyway, they're talking about weird, you know, ghosties and stuff like that. And there's a panel of people there, and he reveals that this woman next to him, he's like, she can you know, speak to people through her mind and telepathy and all this powerful stuff. And she starts having these visions of herself getting killed and stabbed. It's very savage, and she starts screaming on the stage, and oh my god, it's horrific. Well, that same night or the very next day, she gets just viciously chopped down with a meat cleaver, and for whatever reason, her downstairs neighbor takes it upon himself, the pianist that he is, he takes it upon himself to investigate her murder.
Did you say
excuse
penis?
Me?
Tiny penis pianist. He's very delicate with his
subtle,
hands.
Subtle, Blutster, subtle.
But he takes it upon himself to investigate this murder for whatever reason, and he's going to find out who killed her because he really liked being her
Emphasis
neighbor.
Emphasis on for whatever reason.
All right, I have two really important points to make. One is that while watching this movie, Brandon was talking about The Burning, and he called the killer from The Burning Chonky. He said Chonky from The Burning.
Chonchi? I couldn't remember his name.
Joni loves Chachi.
Also, we also came up with another killer. His name is the Plain Scrot Killer. And now what he is he's a killer whose scrotum is completely plain. So it's hairless, it's completely wrinkleless.
It's like
it's
a
like
marble.
Perfect marble skin
you have
on
to
the
think,
scrotum.
If that was going to be your calling card, having a perfectly smooth pair of balls would be great.
The
it would
plain,
be like,
the
it'd
plain
be like the perfect
scrote,
alibi.
The
no one would recognize
killer.
Your balls. They would be indescribable.
Why did I do it? Because of my plain scrote. And you know what? That's exactly enough to make you a killer in Dario Argento's world, because I don't fucking know why anybody's killing
all right.
anybody.
In all seriousness, there's one thing I really want to say. Early on in the movie, we have a fucking awesome scene where it's like kind of showing us a bunch of random objects.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah,
set
dog,
to some
yeah.
really, really, really good music again from Goblin, yep. just like Suspiria.
The soundtrack is fucking
The soundtrack
banging.
To this movie is phenomenal, and I don't think any of us could probably disagree with
nope.
that.
No,
there
I'm
we go.
Not going
That's
to.
It.
I'm not disagreeing.
That's it. We're done. No.
All right. So Dylan, the whole time during this movie was absolutely yelling, screaming, complaining. Dylan, please kick it off for
us. So now I'll start with, like, I was given this movie. I was complaining a little bit about the usual overdub business that we have with these giallos, that they're kind of hard to follow for that. But I you know, about, let's say, I don't know, I lost track of time in this movie. 30 minutes in, I was still on board.
3 hours
I was like,
in.
I was like, this is kind of interesting, actually. Like, sure. It's a good setup. They've got a neat kill at the beginning. And then there was, like, about an hour and 30 minutes until the next kill. And then within that time, I just fucking gave up on this movie. And then the movie kept going after they brought back kills and I'd already given up on it. And then it kept going. And, you know, at the end of it, this movie is only 2 hours long, which is not one of the longest movies that we've ever seen. But holy mother of fuck, does it feel like it. Jesus.
Well, we forgot, you know, I just want to bring it back to a serious note here. One of the main things we forgot is the hot grandma in this movie. there's an old...
Is that a main thing?
That's absolutely the main point I remember from this movie. There's this hot grandma. She's wearing like a maid outfit.
Shut up.
And she's like, I come daily to this house.
Bluester's subtle sense of humor yet again, ladies and gentlemen.
Very subtle.
Just bringing it in.
We're getting off track. I can't shit on this movie for the entirety of our review because I want to go back to what Manton's point. Maybe I think we're talking about the same scene or a similar scene, but there's a scene where the first kill happens. It's pretty fucking great. Mm-hmm. There's some really creepy, like, kind of children's music that's kind of replayed throughout the movie. Mm-hmm. And there's a scene of the guy investigating this first murder that he sees, which is awesome, when he runs up through these stairs and you see these picture portraits that have the most disturbing...
Awesome.
Fucked
horrifying.
Up things in it. Yeah, and they keep kind of changing in a way. It's really weird.
And he catches one, like, out of the corner of his eye, and you can kind of see it as you're watching.
Yeah, it's very like James Wan-ish. Obviously, this is way before James Wan, but he does that kind of trick technique mm-hmm. where he puts things in the background that you will miss the first two times you see a movie.
Oh,
and then when
shit. Brandon was the only one that caught it, but they showed the killer for a brief moment when he walks by a mirror, and Brandon was like, holy shit, I think that was the killer.
Well, I was like, did you guys see that? And, they're like,
that's cool.
I think we can all say that, like, from a video and audio standpoint, this movie is
a beautiful
fucking
movie.
Great.
Yeah. I will not argue there. And the audio, I mean, with the Goblin soundtrack, like, all of these things should work together. The problem is they're not putting them together at the same time, or like the music comes in at the weirdest fucking times in this movie. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a scene where, and later in the movie, for whatever reason, our main character is investigating this. He really does not have a stake in
this. We don't really know
story at all.
Either,
it doesn't make a lot of sense. But he's like going into this house, and we have, I think, Brandon, you timed it. It's like 30 minutes of him like scraping away at drywall in a house. And then at one point he's climbing on the outside and they're just playing like this fucking dope ass goblin music while he's scraping away at drywall.
It's just like super loud and over the top. But like, I don't want to overstate this, but we're over halfway through the movie and the plot has come to an absolute literal crawl. And he's like
a standstill,
desperately trying to find the most minute details about who this person could possibly be. A random guy tells him, if you go to this library and look in a book, you'll find a picture of a house where it could be. He goes to this house, and there's literally a scene that is 30 minutes of him walking around this fucking mansion. And
just to scrape away drywall and find a kid's picture.
To do nothing.
But, that does not link to the killer all that much. Like, it doesn't tell us anything.
It barely tells us anything. And in typical, like, just wayward fashion, he leaves and comes right back to the house.
Oh, my fucking God.
Three scenes over.
Okay, and the boys can vouch for this. I literally left the room at that point and did not come back.
Dylan was fuming, man.
Like, I was just done. Because we were like, I think, it felt like an hour and 45 minutes into the movie at that point.
That was, hour and 45.
He refused to come back. He was, like, watching the movie from, like, the far hallway and, like, watching with just the corner of his one eye.
I was
And we were like, dude, just come in and
done.
Back in and watch. He was like, no, I'm going to watch it from over here.
I'm just, it. Like, I was willing to give this movie a shot, and I've done that with each of the giallo movies that we've seen, with all the Dario Argento ones. Like, Suspiria, I like, but I like it very lightly. This one, like, it starts out okay. It's got the giallo, like, you know, bullshit gloved hand killer whatever thing.
Sure.
Like, and all right, you know, I'll give it a chance. It's really pretty to look at and everything, but eventually, like, the movie just stops moving. Like, things stop happening, and I'm like, why the fuck am I still watching? And by the end of it, when you get the reveal for who this killer is, it genuinely does not matter. Nothing you have seen matters. None of it built up to that. It is such a fucking shit show.
I think the thing that makes the ending, the end of this movie so hard is that we've been waiting and we've been very patient
for so long
to see something happen, and they start having all of these very rapid fire like reveals, like, oh man, I found where this came from, now it's this person, and like in the last 20 minutes of this movie, like, you could have guessed that any random 10 people could mm-hmm. be the killer and you would probably not be that far off, but like they're just like rapid fire giving you the details. I just wish that they had done that throughout the whole movie.
Right. What is the middle hour of this movie for?
it's to develop these characters, but all we really know is that this guy likes playing piano and this lady, and he has very tender hands, and he can't
win
an arm wrestling match.
3 minutes to explain at most.
I don't know, man. These Italian movies are weird. They always start with a fucking blast.
Yeah.
It's always
just
explosive. And it's just like explosive diarrhea. You're drained after it's over, and you just wish you could go to bed after it. But instead, there's another 2 hours.
There's 2 hours of diarrhea?
We're dancing around the obvious here. The movie's just fucking boring.
Oh, God,
There's no better way to put it, really. You just got to be frank. The movie's really boring. And there's just something about Argento. I've talked about it before. I pretended to myself and to others for fucking years that I loved Argento because it's Argento. But I'm on the other side of the spectrum. And there's something about movies that I'm supposed to like that make me so mad. Like, I'm supposed to like this. As a guy who likes horror, I'm supposed to like Deep Red. And it frustrates the hell out of me because I want to fucking like it.
How do so many people like a movie this fucking boring?
It's so boring. And it almost feels like I feel to myself like I've failed or that I'm a fucking idiot.
Because
I don't like it.
That's what I'm thinking. Like, people would say, like, oh, well, you have a rat brain and you can't watch a 2 hour long movie. But that's not true. I've watched tons of movies that are longer than this, that have way less dialogue in it, and I've been way more engaged.
Exactly.
What is it about this movie that is so
frustrating? You want an example of a movie that's like visually appealing and has very little dialogue. You get like Drive, right? But that movie is viscerally entertaining. Like, there's something happening at all times on the screen. It's not a wasted moment, but there are so many scenes in this movie of just like bored Italian people sitting around or standing around and nothing fucking happening.
I wanted to point that out. It was weird. I was wondering if it was just the director or if it was the actual Italian people that just want to look so
not
cool
moving,
doing nothing.
Just maybe smoking their cigarette.
There's probably a good dozen scenes of people just in the background just smoking these huge cigarettes and they're doing nothing. They look bored out of their fucking mind.
There's
like
one where there's like a woman just standing around. She's the only person moving
in the background.
She looks
like she's like a Black Friday shopper waiting for the store.
Exactly. She looks like she's an important component of the plot or like you should be paying attention or something. She never comes back. There's no meaning to any of the fucking substance here. Oh my God.
I mean, I think for me, from what I've seen so far, that's Argento in a nutshell. Unfortunately, I do agree with you, Dylan. I think Suspiria is certainly worth watching.
It's at least viscerally entertaining.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I that's why I think when I reviewed this the first time, I watched it one time, I said, like, this is no more a masterpiece than Suspiria. Suspiria is way better. I don't give a fuck. I'm going to say it right outright. It's way better. And that's probably the only good Argento movie I've seen. I mean, it is. Not probably. It 100% is. I'm still going to give Argento more chances. I don't know why. I don't know what it is about him, but I'm gonna
How
watch
many do
more
we have to give him?
I don't know, man.
I don't know. But let's get into our reviews there. I don't think there's much to say because there's not much happening in the movie. But I get it. This movie is a textbook giallo. We've learned a lot about giallos over the past couple years during this podcast. We've learned that we don't necessarily like them, but you know, I will say, and there's no denying that a lot of movies borrow from this. When you see 80s slashers in America with things like Friday the 13th and you know, Happy Birthday to Me, you name it, especially the first person view with the gloves and the hands. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. Whatever. It doesn't mean this movie's fun to watch. The movie's fucking boring. I've given Argento now 4 or 5 different chances and I don't know what it is. It bothers me that I'm supposed to like this movie and I just can't get myself to like it. I wouldn't recommend this movie ever. I would never recommend this movie. It's super, super boring and it's just not fun. So I have to give it a stinker for that. What do you think, Dylan?
If this is supposed to be, and a lot of people have said, Dario Argento's second best movie, and I hate it this much, I'm not giving him any more chances. I'm fucking done. Like, Suspiria, it's good. I'll give it that. It's not great, but it's a fun enough watch. This one, there's nothing fucking fun about it. There are maybe 2 scenes that are interesting. They're both kill scenes that involve this cool-ass soundtrack. Had they just learned that and done that for the whole movie, like rapid fire, I think back to the first, Giallo that we watched, A Bay of Blood, like that one, at the very least, there are kills happening constantly in that movie. Like, shit's getting real all the time.
And the characters are coming back and they're interacting with each other.
Exactly.
And
in this
happening movie,
you have like one character who looks like sad Paul McCartney, Paul McShartney, just walking around doing fucking nothing.
I was thinking the same thing.
Jesus H. Christ, this movie is boring as hell. And I hate it. It's awful.
Yeah, what do you think, Manton?
Guys, I'm about to pull off the leather gloves right now and give you a big twist reveal. I kind of like this movie.
Fuck you.
And, like, I feel like I need to apologize beforehand. Let me just say, like, I totally get it. I totally get everything you guys are saying, but I just kind of like it. And, like, I this kind of goes back to, like, when we talked about Inferno. I kind of like that a little, too. I don't know if you guys remember when we reviewed that It was the same kind of thing.
Yeah, big screaming skeleton at the end. That's tight as fuck.
No, but I dug the rest of it. And like the Beyond, I think was what it was called, right?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Loved it. And I don't know what it is about these movies, but it might just be a personal bias, but there's something about the fucking weirdness in these movies that kind of resonates with me. And I didn't feel bored, and everyone was like, please, can we just stop watching it? Can we just stop? And I was like, guys, I kind of want to watch the rest.
You could not have been watching the same
movie. I know. And I'm like going back and forth because I'm like, do I give this a stinker because I think almost no one out there that I know is going to like this movie? Or do I give it a gem because I kind of like it? The reality is I can't recommend this to really very many people. I don't personally know anyone that would like this movie. And at the same time, I kind of do like it. So maybe I'm a fucking weirdo fucking freak, but I gotta give it the lightest gem. I kind of liked it.
Yeah, it's your face value opinion. It's wrong, but it's your face value opinion.
I could very well be wrong, but something about the weirdness of this movie, I enjoy it. There's something that I like about it. I can't quite explain it, and I know I'm probably wrong, but I kind of like it, so it's a light gem.
You're a Jello man. Jello boy. What do you think, Blister?
Jello jiggler.
God.
Going back to my tummy problems, I just feel sick. And I'm going to blame it on this movie, and I'm going to say, man, you're weird.
I know.
I know. But that's the thing, is that I'm watching this, and you know, I mean, I see it. I see what you're saying. I love a lot of things about this movie. I don't like them. I love them. I love the first 30 minutes. I
that was ventriloquist doll kill?
Oh,
there was
fuck, yeah.
Insane images in this movie. Yep. But God damn it, if you're going to make a movie that's 2 hours long, you need to reward me for right. actually yep. watching it. Like, if you're out there and you've watched this movie or you've watched other Italian movies and you don't like them and you don't understand why, you're not alone, man, or you know, or girl, whatever. Like, there's something about...
You're not alone, man or girl.
Whatever you are, you're not alone. And this movie, I don't think it's paced. I don't think it rewards you for committing to watching it. Just like Dylan, you can walk away for 30 minutes and you will have missed almost nothing. And I think that is a horrible tragedy for a movie that has like so much going into it and so much like passion. Just take 45 minutes out and you're going to have the same story beats, but you're not going to miss anything.
Take all that bullshit of them in that car that's broken and they're yes. like driving around and it's slapsticky and shit. What is that?
This movie, just,
I like that too.
It's like a marathon, and I just feel tired and drained after watching it. I'm sorry, but it's a stinker, man. I don't like Italian horror. It's not for me.
Yeah.
Unless it's Demons.
True.
Demons is another fucking level. It is so good.
Demons is the most American Italian movie we've seen, though.
You guys, yeah, let's not fucking put it all in a vacuum. No, Demons is great. You mentioned The Beyond earlier, Manton. That's Lucio Fulci. So is, and Demons is also, isn't that Fulci as well or no?
That's Baba, I think.
So, yeah.
Yeah, anyway, there's good Italian horror. Let's not make that an excuse. It's
let's
just,
put
this
movie
sucks.
In a vacuum. It's a piece of dust, piece of shit. Let's vacuum it up and let's throw it in the trash.
I like that Blister said this movie is not paced. He didn't say paced well.
It's just not paced.
It has no pacing. They just kept filming. They're like, put it all in there, baby. Usually directors are like, I've got so much film. Let's cut it down. They
it's
just
a director's
like,
cut.
Let's keep rolling the cameras.
That's basically this podcast. We don't edit a single thing just because we're fucking
just
lazy,
keep
really.
Rolling. Basically.
Well, the critic consists as the kinetic camera work and brutal over-the-top gore that made Dario Argento famous is on full display, but the addition of a compelling, complex story makes Deep Red a masterpiece. Compelling. The horrible consensus... All right, let's get this fucking bad taste out of our mouths and talk about Thailand's representative
in Daddy.
Shudder. And Shudder, and again, this is one that I've seen... This is one that, I say again, I mentioned last episode... That we won't rewatch every film because I've seen this a million times, but Shudder I didn't get to rewatch this week because I've seen it so many times. This is the only film that I've seen more than once, really, of the ones that we've talked about this episode, and I've seen this one probably a dozen times. So, Shudder basically is about a student at a university who's a photographer.
Oh,
obviously,
shit. I was watching Shudder Island.
Dylan, why?
But it's a photography student and. Basically, he starts seeing creepy things come up in his pictures. It's a very classic ghost story. There's something that happened nefarious in his past that he can't kind of kick. And I really don't want to say much else about it, but it is Thailand's claim to fame as it relates to horror. And I want to know, first off, Blooster, this is the first time you saw this film. What are your thoughts initially?
Well, absolutely, yeah. And I'd never seen this before. And one thing I want to say, Devin, about the synopsis is... this movie starts out and they get into a car crash. Like, they see something in the road and they veer off the road and they're like, oh man, is that girl okay? They go back and she's not there. Like,
oh, they don't go back.
Oh, they drive off, but they come back later. And so they, like, at the very beginning, we're like, this is going to be a typical ghost story. And like, this movie does everything to keep tricking you and keep going, you know, keep going in different directions that, holy shit, it was pretty fucking raw for a first watch.
We got to be careful and say, like, I mean, there are a lot of twists, a lot of turns in this movie that you may or may not expect. And they happen at, I would say, probably the perfect moments in this movie.
Yes.
We, last episode, talked about High Tension as a masterclass, or not a masterclass,
the exact opposite.
The exact opposite. It's a mastered class.
Mastered class in twist endings and just twists and how you handle, like, delivering information.
This is the literal opposite.
The literal opposite.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
This movie has huge twists at the end and huge reveals that enhance everything you just watched and make you want to go back and rewatch it and watch it with new eyes. That's how you do a twist.
And this is the second time I had seen it. So knowing what happens at the ending, going through it, I was like, oh my God, they're setting this up brilliantly. Like,
it's ridiculous.
Things I missed completely the first time around, and I'm going back in, and it doesn't ruin the ending either.
It's the polar opposite of High Tension, where watching that a second time, you get more pissed the second time.
You can't watch it. It's infuriating. But it was funny. We started watching this. We had a big group. And Manton just looks at me, he's like, dude, just pay attention.
Yep.
I don't want you to miss anything. I was like, you know what, dude? He says that to me, I'm going to fucking watch this movie, and you get rewarded for never looking away.
You really don't need somebody to tell you, hey, pay attention to this, though, because this movie from the get-go, boom, you're in on board. Like, there's a really light, kind of airy scene between these friends talking at a dinner table or whatever to start it off. And it's a little like, you're like, man, is this supposed to be a scary movie? I don't get it. But then quickly, you're jumping into like the reason that this ghost may be following them, right? This car crash. It's immediately arresting. Like, it's very simple. And one thing that this movie does that I'd forgotten about is that you really only have two characters, which normally
which is
nice. Difficult for a movie to work around here. But these two characters are so well acted and so compelling that it's just a joy watching the both of them operate through this movie.
Plus, I want to say that we have two characters, but it's a little more than that because, like I mentioned earlier, new information comes
out
that changes these characters for us and makes everyone we're watching more interesting. And we're starting to think, why did they do that back then? Like this scene, it just makes you want to pay attention.
So,
and I think it uses the time well, yeah.
Something I think we should talk about is like this movie, I guess now, maybe not at the time, but now when you watch it, you definitely can't help but think that like a lot of this stuff has become sort of a trope.
For sure.
Like the idea that he's like capturing this stuff on film and he's
spirit
looking at it.
Yeah.
And you know, you can't help but think of other movies that have done it. The difference here is that this movie does it so fucking well.
Mm.
From the beginning when we start seeing these pictures, they're immediately like very, very scary. Like we're seeing just the old, you know, spirits on the camera with the kind of these bright lights and stuff.
Yeah, the like wisps and stuff.
And I think one reason this works so well is because they go to great lengths to sort of explain how this is just not a big deal and this happens all the time and it's double exposure or it's like probably a fake. We even literally have a scene where we're watching someone Photoshop these pictures.
I love that.
And I think that goes so far in making this believable because
it grounds it.
And when they show us the real, quote unquote, the real pictures, they seem so much different. They seem so much more believable. And so we're more invested in this story.
Also, to the point that I'll say, this may be one of the few movies out there wherein the characters do not ever make a dumb decision. Like the whole thing, it's pretty logical, like what a person would do in this situation. And as you go further, as more and more of the plot unravels, you understand even deeper why they are doing what they're doing.
Yes, exactly.
Everybody has a motivation at all times, and that's super important.
I love that. And this movie, like for me, I've never seen it before until this week, but it just feels so grounded, like I said, and so real. Like they talk about photography, they talk about how the photos are made, and like it really, you are skeptical, but your skepticism is being like blown away because it keeps happening and scary things are happening. And speaking of scary, this movie is fucking
Jesus Christ
terrifying.
I'd forgotten how fucking scary this movie is.
Yeah.
I've always said I'm a pretty scaredy cat fucking dude, and this movie had me looking away, man. I was like, I had to like have my girlfriend hold me. I couldn't watch
this. This is all true. He was like turning his head into
dude,
her armpit constantly.
This movie,
what a baby.
It is just powerful, like how terrifying this movie is. And even when they telegraph the scares, I still am not ready for what they're going to show me, like especially the ending of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Holy fuck, poop came out, man.
I just want to attest to the fact that this movie is fucking scary. I just want to agree with that because that's one of the major reasons I fucking, it's in what I would say my top 20, 25 horror movies of all time, because this movie, if someone were to ask me, I want a genuinely fucking scary, shit my pants scary movie, I would recommend Shudder. It would be one of my top picks. It is scary. And on top of that, it's not just viscerally scary, and it is viscerally scary. It's got some serious fucking scary images and cool shit. Perfect, pristine jump scares. But a perfect horror movie is viscerally scary, but also narratively scary.
Yeah.
Yes. As in, there's some really shitty, fucked up drama and backstory going on that is equally gut-wrenching, but in a different way, very painful.
Exactly. Yes.
And when you have the two kind of working together, well-oiled, you have a perfect horror
movie.
Well,
and that's the key difference there between something like this and Ju-on that we talked about last time. Ju-on is a masterclass in scares.
Yes.
Nobody's arguing that.
Sure.
This movie is both that and a masterclass in narrative, which just barely, and I mean, spoilers for our eventual, you know, metal pool, because I'm pretty sure this one's moving on. Like, this is what kind of puts it over the top of Ju-on for me, as much as I love that movie. Like, this one just holds together on all fronts.
Well, you have, like, these really, like, strong and well-put-together characters, and, like, whereas in Ju-on, like, it's mostly just a delivery for scares and shit, which is great.
Yep.
This movie follows these people, and the story makes this movie very, very unforgettable.
Yeah.
The things that develop later on, it's just so powerful. Like, and
are you not like heartbroken for this Carrie-esque character? Like the
No more. Like,
I'm not saying I don't even know what you're shushing. But there's just a very heartbreaking story.
The reason I'm shushing you is to keep it there, because all of the twists and turns in this are actually very unpredictable. Like, you don't necessarily know where this movie's going.
There was a little thing I wanted to bring up. It was funny because we were watching this with Rachel, and like 2 minutes into the movie, she goes, I'm not gonna fucking spoil the movie, I promise you. But 2 minutes in, she's like, is this the movie where? And then she said, what movie is it that has this? And I just gave her like the stare of death, and Brandon was like, oh, that's Noroi.
Yeah, and I thought I guessed it. Luckily,
I stared at her, I texted her, I was like, it's this movie, don't say another fucking word.
I got a funny little anecdote about that, and I'm not gonna reveal anything, but I was gonna watch this movie with a friend, because I was like, you gotta see this Thai horror movie. And beforehand, we watched a different Thai horror movie. It was an anthology, and in the anthology, it was a four kids camping out, and they were talking about Shudder, and they were like, oh, the ending of Shudder, and I was like, close your eyes.
That's so funny.
So we have this ongoing joke of like, if you like any Thai movie is just gonna fucking
spoil Shudder.
Don't watch it.
And we have to say that, like, if you don't know the ending of this movie, please do not look it
up. Do not spoil it.
The ending in this movie, straight up best ending in any horror movie I've seen. I know it sounds like we're exaggerating.
It's gonna be hard to tap.
I mean, it is fucking great.
I think it's probably time to review it, lest we give too much away.
Absolutely.
I agree. Go ahead, Manton, kick it off.
All right. I watched this movie for the first time at Devin's old apartment, actually. I think it was way before the cast, maybe like the first 31 and 31, something like that.
Probably, yeah.
And I remember really, really liking it. I think I was kind of pretty drunk at the time.
I don't remember exactly
why I loved it. So it was nice to revisit it. This movie holds up really well. It's a very, very interesting, compelling narrative on top of the scares, on top of all the horror stuff. This is a pretty strong gem for me. I would recommend this to just about everyone. It's good.
Yeah, for me, I don't have much to say. It's one of my top 20 favorite horror movies of all time. It's one of the top 20 scariest movies I've seen of all time. It's a fucking masterpiece. And if you haven't seen it, stop what you're doing right now and watch it. It's fucking incredible. One of the better ones. What do you think, Dylan? A strong gem, of course.
I mean, Devin's not overstating it with masterpiece. I would use that word sparingly, but I will unequivocally give it here. It's definitely a masterpiece. Like we were saying, it is both really scary and really, really compelling. Like, the narrative is so good. And I'd forgotten just how good it was, because I think, like, Manton, I was super drunk the first time we saw this. I was like, oh, yeah, Shudder, that's a fun movie. Let's watch this. I watched it with Megan, and I was like, holy fuck, this is even better than I remember.
Yep.
It's quickly moved up the ranks for me. I don't know where I'd put it exactly, but it's unforgettable. If you haven't seen it, please stop everything you're doing right now and go see it. It's awesome.
Turn off our podcast. It's nothing.
Yeah,
it's nothing compared to this.
All right, close us off, Bluester.
Yeah, so this is a movie that I've avoided for years, or just not cared about, because I'm like, you know, whatever, those lots of Asian horror movies that deal with wet hair and scary girls, and it's going to be just like the rest, but I could not have been more wrong. This movie is so good, so precise, so like well-paced and gripping constantly, so filled with so many scares, so many cool images, and such interesting story, that this movie like is on another tier. Like, it is so good. And it's crazy how much it separates itself from other similar horror movies because of just how much it's like how well it's doing it.
The care in it, yeah.
And this is a movie that you don't feel like you're giving time to it. It's just grabbing you and pulling you along, and you don't have any. There's never a point where I was like, I need to stop and walk away and do something else. I wanted to just keep watching it until the very last second, and I didn't look away. Well, I did look away a lot, but not because I wanted to. But I didn't stop watching the movie until the fucking credits rolled. This movie is so goddamn good; it's a fucking gem, no question.
Fuck yeah, that's four strong gems.
Gee, I wonder what's moving on to the next pool.
Oh, it's definitely gonna be Deep Red.
I'm gonna vote for that just to fuck with
you. God, you fucking asshole!
Don't you dare!
All right, before we get out of here, we'll have a quick game. It was the same as last week. I got some weird, dirty fucking words.
Have they been telling you more and more of them? Or is this from? Oh, okay. This isn't just the British.
No, I googled this. But from each country that we review tonight, so we have Italy, USA, England, and Thailand.
What is USA gonna be?
We'll see.
Fuck.
But we're starting off. What does fuck mean? No, we're starting off with Italy. So in Italian, I'm going to butcher this. It's going to be really, really offensive. I apologize in advance. You guys,
Mamma Mia, Papa Pia, baby, got diarrhea.
What does that mean?
They're going to tell me what they think it means and or make up something, and whatever I think is funniest or most accurate, I'll give them a point. So the Italian phrase is, this is going to be rough, intro culo di mamata. One more time, intro culo di mamata. So I'm so sorry. What do you think that means, Blutster?
Oh, it's definitely get your hands off my hot grandma.
God, that's pretty good, dude. I heard it. You set the bar high, guys. What do you think, Manton?
I think it is like in the vagina of my mom. Something like that.
Nice. You said that oddly sensually.
What do you think, Dylan?
I think in culo butthole. So I'm gonna say it's the other entrance. But what Manton said?
No, Coolio's a hip hop artist.
Oh, Coolio.
Oh,
yeah.
That's
in the Coolio.
Ding 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 to Dylan. It is up your mother's ass.
Nice.
Oh my gosh. Did you mean up your mother's ass?
I just want to like cut like up your mother's ass and Dylan go nice.
Nice.
All right. Yeah.
Is American slang. Tell me what the K9 special is. The K9 special.
Oh, this is some Urban Dictionary.
Congratulations on finding one that I don't know.
What do you think it is, Manton?
Obviously, this is some weird sexual act. I mean, I don't know. Doing it doggy style.
All right, what do you think, Dylan?
K9 special is actually when you replace somebody's food with dog food, like they're eating a burrito or something, you put the dog food in the burrito.
Oh, it already
and
has
then you
that.
Put it in their ass.
And then you put it in their ass. Up my mama's asshole.
Talking.
Nice!
Now we're talking. What do you think, Blutster?
I don't even want to know what this is, but it probably involves some sex act with like a dog or something.
No,
it's probably gross.
No.
All
right, Blutster gets the point. It's when you apply peanut butter to your dick and you call the family dog over. All right, moving
on.
That's not one I'm proud I got, so I'll take the point. You can have the point back. I don't want that.
All right, English, tell me what a munter is.
Did you mean to say Munster?
I think it's a number.
Speaking of Munster, I was on Long Lake on a boat recently, and there's a bunch of little
watching
lake islands. And Herman Munster owns the middle island right
by
camp.
The dude who was in Pet Sematary?
I guess so, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, it's him. Anyway, a munter, M-U-N-T-E-R, even sounds gross, but tell me what the English slang munter
I got this.
Means. What do you think, Dylan?
Herman Munster's butthole.
Oh, pretty good. What do you think, Blutster?
It's definitely butt related. Maybe when someone licks your butt.
Munter.
Okay, what do you think, Manton?
Munter is my favorite cheese to make a grilled cheese with.
Absolutely classic.
No, it's Herman Munster's butthole.
Nice!
No, it is just a really ugly person. That's all it is.
A munter?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. A Herman Munter.
You could say they look like a butthole.
I really like the grilled cheese one, so Amanda gets that. Munter cheese, last one is Thailand. Tell me what doing moi means.
Doing moi?
No, that's French. It's doing moi. You're doing yourself. You're masturbating.
Oh, nice.
Doing moi.
School,
so you're sucking yourself.
It's doing moi. What do you think that means, Manton?
I mean, I couldn't even fucking begin to guess, so titty fuck my butthole.
What even?
Okay, Blutster, what do you think?
It's sucking your own penis, definitely.
What do you think, Dylan?
I don't know. Wet butthole.
It means pull the pubes.
Why do they have a term for that?
Are you pulling them out, or
you're the plain scrote killer? That's how you got to that
plain scrote killer.
This is the way full circle.
The way it's written is as if it's like an order, like you're saying, pull the pubes.
so it's like a sexual thing,
probably.
Maybe. I don't know.
You're like, pull my pubes so I can finally come.
It's a common phrase in like a wax parlor, like wherever you get your wax jobs done.
Pull the pubes!
This is a perfect scrote to wrap up on. So, guys, we're on iTunes and Stitcher. Add us and get our episodes every Wednesday. And also rate us, please. We're on email and Twitter, @HorribleCast. Tweet at us. Vote. Go to the Twitter polls or email us your vote. I don't care. And we'll get your emails read out eventually. Sorry, guys, for the delay. Support us on Patreon if you want. Horrible Podcast.
If you want,
whatever. Patreon.com/horriblepodcast. See you next week for the final pool of the Olympics. That'll be pool C or 3, depending on how you want to fucking count it. But we'll see you next week. Get those votes in this week. And I'm super stoked to wrap up these horrible Olympics, guys. On behalf of the horrible crew, thanks for listening and stay spooky.
Doing more. Doing more.
Deep red, so shitty.
Deep brown.
Hot ground.